Holiness does not come cheaply. There is a high price to be paid for it. The price for authentic holiness involves the shedding of blood, as we will see tonight. We will see that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, the highest price paid, so that we might be declared holy by God. When it comes to the quality or the value of human life, humans have, in many cultures through history, not placed a very high value on humanity. We look at the ancient cultures like the Romans, where they had the gladiatorial games and vicious bloodshed, and the crowds approving of this. We think of also in the Roman culture what they called the right of the father, as in the authority of the father. And when a newborn was presented to the father of the household, the father had the choice whether to accept the child or not. He would look upon the child, and if he approved, he would pick up the child. If not, he would not pick up the child, and the child would simply be put out of the household and left to the elements or left to others who came by. This was very cruel, and it showed how little preciousness was placed on life in certain circumstances. I remember reading about the Eskimos, and I don't know if this is tradition or if this was actual practice, but I remember reading about the Eskimos that they would take elderly persons and put them on small icebergs and set them adrift to be taken out of the community. Humanity can be very cruel. It is also true that war has brought out the worst and shown how cheaply people think about human life. In the country of Iran, in more modern warfare, children had been used to detonate landmines. And in some cases, the children would be wrapped in blankets and then roll through the minefield so that if the mine detonated, the parts of the child would be kept together by the blanket and then they could be buried. So humanity in times and places has placed a very low value on the preciousness of life. God places an exceptionally high value on life. And in fact, if we were to go to the book of Genesis, in chapter 9, we would hear this: "For your lifeblood I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." There's the key phrase, in the image of God. And this is why the blood of mankind is so precious. It is symbolic of that investment of God's very nature that he has placed into humanity as his creatures. And so blood will become the symbol of how precious human life is. Now, if we return back to 1 Peter again, we see now a discussion in verse 18 and following of Jesus. I think we would all certainly agree that the most precious blood of human nature on this earth was that of Christ. And Peter, talking about this, says that when it came to purchasing our forgiveness through Christ's sacrificial death and suffering, he says, you know, it was not with perishable things, in verse 18, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Yeah, indeed, the blood of Jesus Christ was perfect, was precious. It was holy, holy in a divine way, of course. Humanity is made in the image of God, but the nature of Jesus Christ is truly divine. So his blood is able to cleanse us from our guilt and sins. And when it talks about the blood of Jesus, it's talking about his violent suffering and death, which has redeemed us, the shedding of his blood. And of course, in verse 19, it likens Jesus to a lamb without blemish or defect. That would hearken back to the lamb that was killed, slaughtered, and the blood of the lamb put on the doorposts of the Israelites before the angel of death passed over and before the Israelites were freed from Egypt. And so Jesus' blood is likened to that symbol of freedom, so that God was freeing us from sin, death, and Satan. Now, when we realize the significance of Jesus' blood and how important his sacrificial death for us is, then there is a commitment that is called for. There is an admonition that just as the blood of Christ is holy and just as we are forgiven, we therefore should be holy as well. And that's what Peter says in the same chapter in verse 13 and following. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. What is that nature of that holiness to take? How are we supposed to emulate God's holiness? Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5. This is on page 1503. Page 1503, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 43. So we just saw Peter, the apostle, talking, quoting from the Old Testament, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. He actually was quoting the book of Leviticus there. When God was giving his laws and commands for the people to follow, that's what the Lord said to the people as he was directing them how they were to be in their daily lives. They were to reflect his holiness. They were to emulate his perfection. And so now Jesus comments further on this concept in Matthew 5, verse 43, when he says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You can see the same phraseology there. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be perfect as the Lord God is perfect. This all ties together. The holiness of God, the perfection of God, is displayed in his love and in his forgiveness. This is like the highest ideal that God represents, and he visits us with his mercy, with his tenderness, with his compassion, and this emulates his innermost qualities, his innermost being, his thoughts toward the humans he has created. So then, if we're going to reflect that, then we have to pay very careful attention to Jesus when he says to be perfect as the Lord God is perfect. In other words, to express a divine type of love that goes beyond just friendship, goes beyond just I'll pat your back if you pat mine, but even shows kindness to people that would hurt us, people that would hate us, people that would kill us. It is radical. It is extreme. It's beyond what we would normally expect. But that is precisely what God is doing for us in redeeming us through Jesus Christ. That is why the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. That is why it is holy. It is because it's God's means of redeeming sinful people who were his enemies and turning them into his friends. I want to leave you with one last illustration, one last image. I had referred to the book of Leviticus and that admonition, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." The high priest, Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, and successive high priests had a particular outfit that they wore. It was very detailed, everything from the robe to the breastplate that symbolized the 12 tribes of Israel. They had little bells on the bottom of the robe. All of that was symbolic. One of the most important symbols of the high priest was that he wore a headdress, and there was a plaque, like a metal plaque, on the front of the headdress, and in it was inscribed the words, "Holy to the Lord." And he would wear this in front of the entire community. So the high priest symbolized God's holiness, holy to the Lord, dedicated, set aside to represent God himself. Now, when Peter is telling us about the precious blood of Christ that's redeemed us, he is telling us very much the same thing. You have been marked as God's person, and now you carry this title, this responsibility. You are holy to the Lord. Whatever you do, as Peter said, you know, be holy in all that you do. So consider yourself to have emblazoned upon your forehead, if you will, the mark, holy to the Lord. And think about when people look at you, when they see you, will they see that you have been touched by the blood of Jesus Christ? Will they see that your highest priority and highest ideal is to be as Jesus called us to be, perfect in the love of God? No, we're not going to make it 100%. But this is what we are called to do. And this is our privilege. This is our joy because we have been redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. Not by any material objects, not gold or silver or anything, but the most precious human blood ever shed on this earth has given you that title, you that opportunity to be holy, to be loving as our Lord God is loving.